الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدًا ومبشرًا ونذيرًا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, we have always spoken about our beloved Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have heard many talks on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We read many books on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble character. But no matter how much we may speak about him, we will still not do justice to the shan, to the elevated position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like a poet said, مَا مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا بِمَقَالَتِي وَلَكِنْ مُدِحَتْ مَقَالَتِي بِمُحَمَّدًا. A person who praised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his talk, in his speech. In the end he says that I have not really praised Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he ought to be honored. And my speech, as much as I endeavored to make it so beautiful and so sweet and extol and praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what has really occurred is that my speech got the beauty in it by taking the name of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the object is to inculcate in our lives the beautiful way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not only on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal that we have some program, or there are jalsas and events that take place. Just once a year we praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never. A mu'min keeps Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his imam throughout his life. Throughout his life. And therefore, alhamdulillah, in this masjid we have programs on Mondays, Thursdays, and so many other programs. And all the time we are talking about Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is no special occasion that we set aside that only today we will speak on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A mu'min has the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the time. So there are so many aspects regarding the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we could discuss, and of course we will not do justice to it. But very briefly, we know it was the 6th century when there was so much of darkness that prevailed in this world, darkness of shirk, kufr. People were worshipping every other thing besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was looting, plundering, crime, killings, wars. And if you read the books of history, you will find that there was so much of turmoil, so much of chaos, so much of anarchy, so much of hatred and enmity, that if a person who had his land and his neighbor's camel strayed and came into his land and grazed on his land, then that was sufficient a reason to wage a war against his neighbor. There was no unity whatsoever. And we know of the incidents where a person would actually take his daughter, newborn baby, when his wife gave birth, and because it was a female, then he would take the little girl and bury her alive. The Quran talks about it. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ A woman was given no izzat, honor, respect whatsoever. If you read about the nikah that used to take place, the marriages in the time of Jahiliyyah, you will get a shock of your life. You will feel this is something impossible. And that is why Mawla Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali writes, and he says, it was as though Mother Earth was fed up of the people living on it. And it would just wanted to just sink the entire mankind into its belly. But at that moment, that point of time, when there was only darkness, zulumat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to send the master of mankind, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he was born, literally, the house became illuminated in which he was born. And his mother had seen a beam of light when she gave birth to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shining to such an extent that it lit up the palaces of Persia. And this was one miracle showing that this was a very great person that was born. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was full of noor, and he brought noor into this world, noor of iman. He connected the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He brought in the lives, he changed the lives of people who lived barbaric lives into shining stars. Shining stars over a short period of time. And he made such a great effort. My respected brothers and elders, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rubayyah bint Muawidh radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was asked by her son, that explain to me, describe to me Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, Ya bunayya, law ra'aytahu, if you had only seen Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ka'anna shamsa tali'atun, you would think the sun was rising. That was the amount of nur on his face. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu riwayat, ka'anna shamsa tajri fi wajhihi. It is as though the sun was gliding in his face. Ida surra istanara wajhuhu. It comes in Shama'il that when Rasulullah became happy and pleased, his whole face would light up. Any person could see the radiance and the beam of joy on his face. His whole face would shine. كَأَنَّهُ قِطْعَةُ qamar, as though it was a piece of the moon. أَفْلَجَ الثَّنِيَّتَيْنِ There were tiny, very fine gaps between the teeth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this brought out more his beauty. إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ When he spoke, رُؤِيَ كَالنُّورِ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ ثَنَايَاهُ It was as though noor was coming out from between his teeth. Full of noor. Everything around him became illuminated. And that is why Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that I borrowed a needle from Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha one day. And as I was busy sewing something, suddenly this needle drops from my fingers. And because it was absolutely dark, I could not find that needle. So I began searching for the tiny little needle. But it was so dark, I could not find it. And suddenly she says, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters the home. And the moment he entered, the radiance from his face shone, and immediately I was able to find my needle. This was the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse that I quoted, Allah Ta'ala mentions Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Sirajam Munira. He was a bright shining lantern, a lamp. A person uses one lamp or a lantern, and through that he can shine many other lanterns. and light up many other lanterns. Take one candle and use it one candle and you can light up so many other candles. And that is exactly what Rasulullah did. That he was that noor that Allah Ta'ala sent into this world. And through that noor, so many other stars began to shine. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once overheard some sahaba who had gathered outside his home. He heard, overheard the conversation. And what were they discussing? They were discussing the different anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, the ranks of different anbiya. Somebody said, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the most superior of all the anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. Why? Because he's Khalilullah. And somebody said, no, Musa is Kalimullah. And somebody said, Isa Ruhullah. Nabi Kareem emerges from his home. He says, Sami'atu kalamakum wa ajabakum. I heard your speech, I heard your conversation. And the delight that each one expressed, and the wonderment, and how you admired the different anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And when somebody said, Ibrahimu Khalilullah, wa huwa kathalik, I agree 100%. Ibrahim was the Khalil of Allah. And Isa was Ruhullah. And Musa was Kalimullah. And Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, istafahullah, Allah had chosen him. No doubt, wa huwa kathalik. Allah, behold, wa ana habibullah. I am the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, Allah, wa ana habibullah, wa la fakhra. I'm not saying this out of pride. But this is the reality which Allah ta'ala had made. And therefore in Mi'raj, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mounting Burraq, it became excited. It became a bit stubborn. Until Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam commanded it and addressed it, O Burraq, do you know who is going to mount you? There is nobody more honored in the sight of Allah than the person who is going to ride you now. And that is Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَرْفَضَّ عَرَقًا Burraq, the animal, actually began to perspire profusely. It felt embarrassed. And when Rasulullah went to Masjid al-Aqsa, Adhan was given. Safs were made. Of who? Only Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is present. Who is going to be the Imam? Imam of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then puts Nabi Kareem something forward. Imam al-Anbiya. Therefore he says, أَنَا سَيِّدُ وُلْدِ آدَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ وَلَا فَخْرَ I am the leader of mankind. I will be the leader of mankind on the day of Qiyamah. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ تَنْشَقَّ عَنْهُ الْأَرْضِ And I'll be the first person to emerge out of the qabr. You know, every person will be buried. And every person then will be raised from his qabr on the day of Qiyamah. The very first person to rise from his grave will be Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ana awwalu shafi'in, wa ana awwalu mushaffa'. I'll be the first person to intercede. And the first person whose intercession will be granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ana aktharu al-anbiya'i taba'an yawm al-qiyamah. From all the anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, I will have the most amount of followers. Most amount of followers. And this is to please Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That his ummah must be the largest. And his ummah, every one of them may enter into Jannah. And that was his worry all the time. Ya Allah, how can every ummati of mine, how can every single one of them enter into Jannah? And nobody must go to Jahannam. Nobody must go to Jahannam. Like how a mother is so concerned about her children. Nobody must get left behind. Everybody must be together. If one is sick, the mother, she feels the pain. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt more pain than a mother has for her children, for his ummah. And I'll be the first person whose intercession will be granted. I'll have the most followers. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَقْرَعُ بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ I will be the first person to knock on the door of Jannah. Another riwayat, وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يُحَرِّكُ حِلَقَ الْجَنَّةِ The angel will ask, who is it? It will be said, it is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The angel will say, it was only you that I have been commanded to open the door of Jannat for. Nobody before you will be able to enter Jannat. No other anbiya. And that is why Nabi Kareem mentioned, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ كُلِّهَا حَتَّى أَدْخُلَهَا. That no Nabi can enter Jannat until I enter Jannat first. And no Ummat can enter Jannat until Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Jannat first. We have been given privileges and honor because we are in the Ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi Kareem in one riwayat he mentioned, أُعْطِيتُ خَمْسًا لَمْ يُعْطَ أَحَدٌ قَبْلِي. I've been given five things that no other Nabi was given. نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ. In times of war, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala gave him such awe that was filled in the hearts of the enemy, such fear was instilled in their hearts that they were still a distance of 1 month away. Distance of 1 month away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and already they were trembling with fear. Then anywhere in the world, unlike the nations of the past, they had fixed places where they could make taharat and perform the salat or perform the ibadat. But the ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem says, وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ طَهُورًا. Wherever a person is, he can perform his salah. And then he said, وَأُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْغَنَائِمِ. In times of war, booty is collected, spoils of war, and that is permissible for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah. For the other anbiyas, it was not permissible for them to use the spoils of war. And then he said, I've been granted intercession. Such a great thing on the day of Qiyamah. You know, the lengthy hadith that every person will go to Adam alayhi salam first. Oh Adam, please intercede on behalf of mankind. Speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then at least hisab kitab must start. Adam alayhi salam says, no, he'll give his excuse and go to the next Nabi. They will go to various anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Finally they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam will go into sajda. And he will make such a sajda in which he will praise Allah Ta'ala in such words that never before any person was inspired with such words of hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on that occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such words extolling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will cry in sajda. Then Allah will say, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'sak, sal tu'ta, washfa' tushaffa'. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pick up your head now. And now ask whatever you ask will be given. Intercede on behalf of mankind. And your intercession will be answered. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will first intercede on behalf of his ummah. As every ummati will go past pul sirat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be standing. And what dua? Allahumma sallim. Allahumma sallim. Oh Allah, take it easy on my ummati. Make it be easy for my ummati to cross pul sirat. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to this specific group of people, specific nations. But I have been sent, ursiltu ila nasi kaffa, to the whole of mankind. Whole of mankind. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, as the final Nabi, Khatamun Nabiyyin, no Nabi to come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sent to human beings and also the jinn. They also embraced Islam, they also brought Iman in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Innama ana rahmatun muhdat. In hadith, he says, I am a source of mercy. Allah sent me as rahmatun lil alameen. And this is another whole lesson on its own. Inshallah on Friday, Jummah, if Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat, we will speak on وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Those incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that show his mercy. What a merciful being he was. And lessons for all of us to learn. Whether a person is a husband, wife, teacher, pupil, king, citizen. Look at the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can also inculcate those beautiful qualities. He says, I am sent as a mercy unto mankind. And muhdat. Muhdat means I am a gift. Allah has given this ummah the gift of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi, in the explanation of this hadith, he says, فَمَنْ قَبِلَ هَدِيَّةَ اللَّهِ ظَفِرَ وَأَفْلَحَ. That person who accepts this gift of Allah. In other words, he appreciates this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That our Nabi is the greatest of Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. And all the virtues we mentioned so far. Then such a person, if he follows the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring iman in him first. He follows Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He respects Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He makes the ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He obeys and he follows Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a person will be successful. And we hear it so often. Success in this world and the akhirat lies in obeying the commands of Allah and following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that person who does not accept and appreciate this hadiyah, this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khaba wa khasira. He is in utter loss. He is destroyed forever and ever. So my respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a great Nabi. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in appreciated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every moment with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine a sahabi sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the majlis is over, he goes home, but he is bechain, he is restless. Something is bothering him. So he leaves his home, and where does he come? He comes to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were so fortunate. Any problem, they would go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was his problem? Wasn't a financial problem. Wasn't a domestic problem. Wasn't a social problem. He just wanted to see the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once more. He just left the majlis of Rasulullah, hadn't he gone home even. But already he was missing the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He goes, seeks permission, Ya Rasulullah, I just want to see your Mubarak face once. Thawban radiallahu ta'ala once addresses Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, you are guaranteed Jannah. We do not know what is our condition, our plight. On the day of Qiyamah, what if we have to go to Jahannam? We'll never see you again. And even if we are granted Jannah, your rank, your maqam, Jannatul Firdaus, maqam Mahmood, the highest of all places and ranks in Jannah, under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where will we be? How will we see you? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give any answer. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. Whenever he spoke, it was through divine revelation, inspiration. He did not speak on his own accord. He remained silent until Allah Ta'ala sent down the verse, وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ. Whoever obeys Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Then such people will be with Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. In other words, you will be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. May Allah grant all of us that being in the company, being the neighbor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. They love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have heard this incident and we will keep on hearing it. Sawad bin Ghaziyah radiallahu ta'ala, battle of Badr is taking place. The greatest of battles. Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam once came down after some time after the battle of Badr. Ya Rasulullah, those sahaba who participated in the battle of Badr, how do you count them as? Nabi Kareem said, min afdalin nas, the most virtuous of all the sahaba. So Jibril alayhi salam said, exact like that are those angels who participated in Badr. They are the most virtuous of the angels. Battle of Badr is taking place. Nabi Kareem sallam is just making the safs, the rows, straight of the sahaba. This Sahabi Sawad bin Ghaziya radiallahu ta'ala, he doesn't have any much clothing. He just has got his bottom, he's got a trousers on, and his chest is bare. That's the only thing he had. But he was jutting out of line. So Nabiya Kareem some had a stick and pushed him in line. Immediately Sawad bin Ghaziya radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Ya Rasulullah, aqidni. I want revenge. You hurt me. You pushed me into the line with a stick. Imagine Sahaba, people like Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu ta'ala are there. What is Sawad talking about? Has he gone crazy now? Taking revenge from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem said, no problem, come. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you've got a kurta on. I've got nothing on here. So you must remove your kurta. Nabiya Kareem said, lifted his kurta. Sawad bin Ghaziya radiallahu comes dashing forward. He grabs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tight. He presses his body on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, Ya Rasulullah, I didn't mean to take revenge. I just wanted my skin to touch your skin. Perhaps I'll become shaheed just now. And the last action in this world will be that I had the opportunity of pressing onto your Mubarak body. These were Sahaba. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala has been sent to Yemen. It's a long incident. Nabi Akram gave him various advices. It was on that occasion when Mu'adh is mounted on the animal, on the horse. And Nabi Akram insists that he will walk. Mu'adh is saying, Ya Rasulullah, how can I be sitting on the animal and you walking? He said, no, you sit. And he holds the reins of this horse and he gives him advice. And he walks with him, bids him farewell. Beautiful advices. And then he tells him, Ya Mu'adh. It is the same Mu'adh bin Jabal. On one occasion, Rasulullah, imagine, tells him, Ya Mu'adh, Wallahi inni lawhibbuk. Oh Mu'adh, ati qasamin Allah, I love you. Don't forget after every fard salat to read the following dua. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Say Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. Nabiya Kareem said to him, Ya Mu'adh, asa an la talqani ba'da aami hadha. I don't think you're going to meet me again after this. This is the last we're going to see one another. Wa la'allaka anta murra bi masjidi wa qabri. And perhaps you'll come one day, you'll go past my masjid, and my qabr you will find. Imagine, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, ulama have mentioned, he will be the leader of the ulama on the day of qiyamah. From the entire ummah, the one who had most knowledge of halal and haram was Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. He begins to cry, فَبَكَى مُعَاذٌ جَشَعًا. He cried bitterly, like a little child. Nabi Kareem could not see his sahabi crying. So he turned his face away. This was the love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, when the battle was taking place and in Uhud, the rings of the helmet that Rasulullah was wearing, when the enemy threw a stone and hurt and injured the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ring of the helmet, it actually pierced into the Mubarak cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was stuck. Somebody had to remove it gently. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu was close by. He goes forward. He does not remove it with his hands. Perhaps by pulling it out, it will cause pain to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he used his teeth. And gently, he pulled out this helmet, or the ring of the helmet that had got stuck into the cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in doing so, he lost his own teeth. Talha radiallahu ta'ala used to put out his hand as the enemy were shooting arrows towards Rasulullah sallam to assassinate him. And Talha used his hands, defending, shielding Rasulullah sallam until his whole hand became paralyzed. Nabi Kareem said, Al-yawma yawmu Talha. Today is Talha's day. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, I cannot help but mentioning this incident which we heard so many times in the month of Ramadan also. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine the muazzin of Rasulullah. There are four muazzins of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bilal radiallahu was one. Every day calling out the adhan in Madinah Munawwara. Everybody was so accustomed to his beautiful voice. And when Rasulullah leaves this world, Bilal radiallahu anhu could not call out the adhan anymore. He did not have that courage. He missed Rasulullah so much. He takes leave. He says, "Oh Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I am leaving Medina. I cannot stay here any longer. Every gully will remind me of my beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Abu Bakr says, "Bilal, how can you go? You can't go." He said, "Oh Abu Bakr, if you freed me," Abu Bakr had freed Bilal radiallahu anhu. He said, "If you freed me for your own sake, then okay, I will still remain with you. But if you freed me for the sake of Allah, let me go." He says, I had freed you for the sake of Allah." So he goes to Damascus. And after some time, he sees Rasulullah SAW in his dream. "Oh Bilal, why have you gone so far? Why have you alienated yourself from me? Why aren't you visiting me?" So he comes immediately. And as he comes into Madinah Munawwara, the memories again comes to Bilal radiallahu anhu. And who does he meet? The beloved grandchildren of Rasulullah, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu. They see Bilal, they're excited. "Oh Bilal, you got to call out the adhan." It was salat time. It was namaz time. Bilal radiallahu anhu is reluctant, but how can he refuse the grandsons of Rasulullah? So he goes, and as he calls out the adhan, every person in Madinah, the men, the women, the children, suddenly hearing Bilal's voice, immediately Bilal's voice brought memories of Rasulullah. And everybody came running out of their homes as though Rasulullah had come back. And when Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu reaches, "Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah," he collapses. My respected brothers and elders, the love Sahaba had, we cannot even imagine that love. One tabi'i, he told another Sahaba that you all were in the company of Rasulullah. If we had to be in his company, we won't even let the man walk. We would have carried him on our shoulders. The Sahabi said, and he explained to him, "Do you know what we went through? The difficulties, the trials, the sacrifices we made for the sake of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were times when we had no food to eat. It is very easy in comfort, like how we are sitting in such comfort, and now we are talking about sacrifices of Rasulullah sallam and respect of Rasulullah sallam, the love for Rasulullah sallam, and we would have done this and we would have done that." Impossible. Sahaba gave their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his final Nabi. "Ya ayyuhan Nabi." In this verse that I read, ulama explains 6 or 7 qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Ya ayyuhan Nabi." First, he was a Nabi. "Inna arsalnaka." He was a Rasul. There's a difference between a Nabi and a Rasul. It's an academic discussion. So he was a Nabi and a Rasul. "Shahidan." We sent you as a witness. Ulama explain this. One of the meanings is, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask every ummah of the past, "Did your Nabi come to you?" "No Nabi came to us." They will lie. "No alayhi salatu salam people, any Nabi came to you?" No, didn't come to us. "He didn't preach to us oneness, your oneness. He didn't talk to us about Iman. He didn't give us da'wah towards Islam and Iman." Allah will say, "Is that the case? Oh Nuh, who is your witness?" So he will call upon the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I will witness on his behalf. Wallah, Nuh alayhi salam came and he gave da'wah to his people. And finally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be called as a witness over all the nations. And this made him cry. Because he loved his ummah so dearly. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, he has to witness against some people of his ummah who rejected his call and plea. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was reciting. Nabi Akram called him. "Abdullah, recite for me Quran." "Ya Rasul, I must recite to you Quran? When Quran was revealed to you?" He says, "Uhibbu an asma'a min ghayri." I like to hear Quran being recited from somebody else also. So recite. So recite Surah Nisa from the last quarter of the 4th para. And as he's reading, going to the 5th para, he's reading so beautifully. And Nabi Kareem is enjoying the recitation of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. And suddenly when he comes to this particular verse, "Fakayfa idha ji'na min kulli ummatin bishaheed."
How will it be when from every ummah we'll call a witnesser to witness for or against that ummah? وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَٰؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will then witness against all those people who rejected me. So he was sent as shahid. وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. A giver of glad tidings. Nabi Akareem spoke about the rahmat of Allah. He emphasized the mercy of Allah. He spoke about the promises of Allah, Jannat. And the bounties of Jannat. And Wanadhira, he warned his ummah about the chastisement of Jahannam. He warned his ummah from the very first day. He climbed onto Mount Safa. He called all the tribes of the Quraysh. He gave an arm, a general invitation. And then specifically, Ya Bani Fahr, Ya Bani Adi, Ya Bani Hashim. Different families, he addressed them. Anqidhu anfusakum minan nar. Save yourself from the fire of Jahannam. He called his own daughter, his own aunt Safiya. Save yourself from the fire of Jahannam. He was a nadhira. Ya ayyuhan nabiyu, inna arsalnaka shahidaw wa mubashiru wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allah. He was an inviter towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was his main mission. To save mankind from the fire of Jahannam. And how every single person from his ummah can gain entry into paradise, Jannat, eternally. And that is why he used to cry in his dua. That is why he should cry in his sajda. Allahumma ghfir li ummati. Allahumma ghfir li ummati. The sound of a hissing kettle would come out from his chest. We cry now and then, Allah protect us, some musibat comes. And now we become overwhelmed and now we cry sincerely in our du'as. It happens certain times in our lives. Here Rasulullah is crying not because of his own physical pain or because he's hungry. No. For his entire ummah, people who he from his ummah who he had not even seen. And that is why even whilst on a journey, where's his mind? His ummah. Sahaba say, we saw such a strange thing once. We traveled out of Makkah, going towards Medina, at a place called Azwara. Suddenly Rasulullah comes off his animal, and he makes dua, and then he goes into sajda. Again he makes dua, goes into sajda. A third time he makes dua, goes into sajda. Sahaba, Ya Rasul, what is this? What have you done? Why have you done this? He says, I thought of my ummah. I made dua, O Allah, give me the opportunity on the day of Qiyamah to intercede on behalf of my ummah. That they may be saved from Jahannam and they can gain entry into Jannat. Allah says, one third of your ummah, okay, you are granted, you will get the opportunity on the day of Qiyamah to intercede on their behalf. On that, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became happy. So he made a sajda, which is known as sajda to shukr. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still he was not satisfied. Again, Ya Allah, what about the remaining ummah? Allah says another third. So again he made sajda. Still he was not satisfied. Every ummah he must get Jannat. Not only certain people. Not only the scholars of the ummah. Every single male, female, young, old, rich, poor. Whatever his color. Wherever he may be. Allah says even that last third, you'll be given that opportunity to make sifarish of your ummah. On that he made sajda. What sacrifices he made. When he came into this world, already a yati. Father had passed on already. Mother is young. Amina is young. And with the whole infancy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha took care of him and she fed him. But there was one occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes with his mother and Ummu Ayman Baraka radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was from Abyssinia, she was the khadima of the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amina. She was elder in age than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She used to look after him. Three of them are going to Medina Munawwara. At that time it was called Yathrib. To visit his maternal family. The family of Amina. They were living in Medina at that time. They spend 1 month there. Remember, he's got no father. And he got his mother. He's got no brothers. He's got no sisters. He's the only child. He's got his mother, Ummu Ayman Baraka. They visit their family. And on their return, at a place called Abawa, suddenly, Amina feels some pain. She's unable to speak. She feels excruciating pain. She cannot explain because she became speechless. She could not speak. And the color on her face is changing. She looks towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She's going through this pain. Suddenly she sits down. And then she's able to say a few words to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama explain he is just about 6 years of age. 6 years of age. 2 years time, it's like one of our children who just enters primary school, grade one, or class one as we say. 6 years of age. She's 5 and a half, almost 6 years. Rasulullah was so fond of his mother. He's seeing her. What is happening? Ummu Ayman Baraka is standing there. And she gives a poetry to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a long poetry. And then she says, Kullu hayyin mayyitun. Every living person must die one day. Kullu jadidin balin. Everything new must become old one day. Kullu kathirin yafna. Or kullu kabirin yafna. Every big thing one day comes to an end. Then she says, O my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inni mayyita. I'm going to leave this world now. And she passes away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is this? The Habib of Allah. The most beloved. The most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The child is born without a father, he's a yatim. No brother, no sister, no siblings. Got only his mother. If Allah wished, he could have gone back to Makkah and then Amina would have passed away. No, no. Allah decides at this place called Abawa, where there is nobody else residing there. And she passes away there. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting by the qabr of his mother. Ummu Ayman Baraka, and probably some people came and they buried her. He is looking at his mother's qabr. And he is crying. Little child, he is crying. Addressing his mother, as some person said, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as though he said, Oh my mother, you know how much I loved you. Why have you left me? You know how much I love you. Why have you left me? Ulama and historians have written that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then leaves the qabr. He comes down, just on the top of a mountain, and suddenly he rushes up again. Ummu Ayman Barakah goes behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She knows what has happened. He goes back by the qabr of his mother, and he is crying. He's crying. Ummu Ayman Baraka radiallahu ta'ala tries to pull Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she brings him and she pulls him and she takes him to Makkah like this. It is mentioned in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Hudaybiyah. Another long incident. Brothers, read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, they were not allowed to enter into Makkah and a pact was signed. Suddenly, instead of going towards Medina, Nabi Karim went to Abawa. And he went and he visited his mother's qabr again. Now he's over 50 years of age. Close to 60. The Nabi of Allah, he sits by his mother's qabr. Sahaba watching him. And he cries like a little child. He cries like a little child. Historians have written, he cried in such a way that all the other Sahaba also began to cry. These are just the beginning sacrifices of Rasulullah. What about the camel's intestine placed on his back? What about Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayyid comes to strangle him, choke him? What about thorns were placed on his pathway? What about both his daughters, both were divorced by the sons of Abu Lahab, both together and thrown back to him, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What about the times when Nabi Kareem had no food whatsoever to eat? Himself, he says, that 30 days went by, and Bilal and I had nothing to eat at all. Nothing. 2 months, consecutive months go past and there's no food in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no food in the house of Ahlul Bayt. There's no food at all. spasms of hunger. But Rasulullah was Rahmatul Alameen. Never did he complain. Never did he complain. My respected brothers and elders, I wish I could continue. But we know most of brothers are tired, working the whole day. Imbibe in our lives the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talk about sunnah, sunnah, sunnah. When are we going to bring one sunnah into our lives? They are external sunnah, which probably are more easy. Beard, kurta, topi, etc. We have to get this in our life. Zahiri sunnah. What about the internal sunnah? The noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who served Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. He was a little child. He was 10 years old when he came in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, khadamtu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 10 years. It's a long story. He says, once Rasulullah tells me, ya bunayya, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsiya wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin faf'al. Oh my son, if every morning and evening, if you are able to rise in and be in such a condition where you have no malice for any person in the world, faf'al, please do so. وَذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. That is my sunnah. That is my sunnah. We forget this sunnah. We forget about this sunnah of Rasulullah sallam. This way of life. We forget about it. Rasulullah said, ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. That is part of my way of life. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. Whoever likes my sunnah, whoever loves my sunnah, then he has loved me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي. Whoever loves me, كَانَ مَعِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He'll be with me in Jannah. Subhanallah. That is why Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he used to follow every single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Going on a journey for Hajj, and suddenly he's on an animal, and he puts his, lowers his head, whereas there was no hindrance, no object, no tree, no branch. People looked at him, what are you doing? He says, no, when I came with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a tree at this very spot, and there was a branch, and my master sallallahu alaihi wasallam lowered his head to avoid the branch. I am also following this sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no urge to relieve himself, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, no urge, but he goes one side, and he puts a barrier, and he sits for a little while, and then he says, my Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam relieved himself at this point also. I'm following even to this minutest detail of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala is once reading some pages of Torah that somebody gave him, and he's admiring it. Nabi Kareem sees him. Nabi Kareem becomes upset and angry. Umar, لو كان موسى حيا لما وسعه إلا اتباعي. Even if Musa alayhi salam was alive today, it would be compulsory upon him to follow me, follow my way of life, follow my sunnah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah, we have heard his name. We have Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, the four imams of the jurisprudence, fiqh. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, it's a very long incident where the king or the governor at that time was going to flog him and punish him, and this whole incident, how he was punished and whipped and he was imprisoned. But when there was a warrant for him, he fled. So he managed to hide in one person's home. 3 days pass, he's hiding, then he emerges, he tells his friend, find me another location, another place where I can conceal myself. So the person says, what's the need for all that? Just remain here. He says, no, 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 no. Listen to this, my respected brothers and elders. He says, لَا يَنْبَغِي لِرَجُلٍ أَن يَتَّبِعَ سُنَّةَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي الرَّخَى وَيَتْرُكُهَا فِي الشِّدَّةِ. It is not correct. It is not correct for any person to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam only in matters which are easy for him. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also was in the ghar of Thawr. When he made hijrah from Makkah to Medina, he hid in the cave with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. The enemy came right to the mouth of the cave. Allah concealed the mouth of the entrance of the cave with the pigeons' eggs and spider's web. But Nabi Karim remained in the cave for 3 days. So this is also the sunnah of my Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not remain for more than 3 days. He came out of the cave after 3 days. So I also will follow this sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in times of my difficulty as well. This is the sunnah. Our pious predecessors even went to that extent. That is why Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi, when he is leaving this world, he is unable to move, passing away. He indicates to a person, a friend of his, Ibrahim rahmatullahi, he tells him, help me to make wudu. He makes ishara, indicates towards the jug of water. So he makes the wudu for him. And then he holds his hand. And he takes his hand and he passes it, his fingers through his beard. Because that person forgot about the khilal of the beard. This person was amazed. At that time even, the man is leaving this world. We will see, you can just make tayammum over. He's making sunnah, he's making wudu, but he's making wudu properly. Not a single aspect of wudu, not a single sunnah is left out. And the khilal also, he does not forget. There are so many incidents of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. If you claim you love Allah, we all claim you love Allah. The alamat, the sign that a person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ittiba' of Rasulullah sallam, following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the result, the fruit of ittiba' of Rasulullah sallam, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah mentions that Allah will love you. You followed my Nabi. Allah says, I will love you and I will forgive all your sins. So my respected brothers and elders. So a poet says so beautifully, بَلَغَ الْعُلَىٰ بِكَمَالِهِ. He reached the pinnacle of all perfection. Who? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كَشَفَ الدُّجَىٰ بِجَمَالِهِ. He removed the darkness through his beauty. Jabir radiallahu anhu, 14 full moon, and he looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so beautiful. And suddenly he looks at the 14th full moon. He looks again at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again at the 14th full moon. He says, never, my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the brilliance on his Mubarak face, it outshines the brilliance of the 14th full moon. In Shama'il Tirmidhi, it's translated into English. Try and get a copy and read the features of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was not too tall, no too short. لَيْسَ بِالطَّوِيلِ الْبَائِنِ وَلَا بِالْقَصِيرِ الْمُتَرَدِّدِ. He wasn't too tall, no too short. كَانَ مَرْبُوعًا رَبْعَةً مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. He was of medium stature. However, the mu'jiza of Rasulullah SAW was such that if he was amid standing with tall people, like how it is mentioned, Abbas radiallahu anhu, his uncle, was very tall, extremely tall. But in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although Rasulullah normally was not too tall, not too short, beautiful height, medium in height, but in the presence of tall people, he would look taller than the tall man as well. Then his complexion, he was azhar alone. He was not extremely white, like the color of a kurta, no. He was fair in complexion, with some reddish on his face. Extremely handsome. His head was large and firm. His mouth, kana dali alfam, extremely beautiful lips, beautiful mouth, broad. His hair, black, the zulfa, 3 lengths, wafra, limma, jamma, coming to his earlobes. This detailed explanation in Shama'il, you can read that up. His eyebrows, beautifully, naturally shaped. Eyelashes were long. أهدب العينين. أشكل العينين. Black. And the white sclera had slight beautiful red lines in it. Extremely handsome. Luster noor on his nose. And as I mentioned, that there were tiny, very fine gaps between his teeth. His eyebrows did not meet in the middle. His hands and his feet were such that they were very, very firm, well built. Every joint of his was well built. His face neither too round nor too long between the both. On the left of his back, left shoulder, on the top, just under the shoulder blade, on the left side, was the seal of prophethood. It was a young girl. She was known as Ummu Khalid. Little young girl. She came with her father, and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing a beautiful garment from Abyssinia. A little girl, Nabiya Kareem placed his Mubarak hands on her head. Brothers, we cannot start the mu'ajizat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So beautiful. There were little children whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just touched the face. One sahabi says, once Rasulullah came and he began to touch the little children on the cheeks. How we play with them. But he touched me on both my cheeks. And he says, it was as though he had removed his hand from an itar box full of fragrance. Ummu Salim radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a mahram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through being from the foster relative of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Qairullah once by her house and he was resting. So I quietly went, I took a little bottle and it was hot summer, I began to collect the perspiration that is coming out of the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then mix it with some itar that I had at home. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up. What are you doing? She says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm mixing your perspiration, which is with this perfume that I've got at home. Atyabu Tib, the most fragrant smell I can ever get is the perspiration that is coming out of your body. Nabiya Kareem. And she says, Ya Rasulullah, we will give this to our children so that they may also gain some barakah. The exact words of the hadith I'm telling you. So our children can get some barakah of your perspiration. Nabiya Kareem said, okay, no problem. Extremely beautiful. So he's got, so Ummu Khalid, little girl, she goes behind, little child sees something different, she began to poke her finger on this seal of prophethood. Her father stops her immediately. What are you doing? Nabiya Kareem looks at the father, no, leave her. Let her enjoy herself. The seal of prophethood was the size, in one riwayat, size of a fist. Another narration of a pigeon's egg. In other words, it was small. Or some riwayat says like an apple, small apple. That was the size. The same color as the skin of the remaining of the body. And slight, in one riwayat they say like we have beauty spots, beauty marks, that was on the sea, on the Khatam al-Nubuwa of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he, idha masha takaffa, when he used to walk, then he would not drag his feet. He would lift his feet with vigor. He would not stamp his feet on the ground, but he would walk with firmness in such a way that his head slightly forward, كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ سَبَبٍ, as though he was coming down a slope. When a person is coming down a slope, he's going to be very wary of any loose stones so that he does not fall. Nabi Kareem would come down in that manner. There are so many other aspects regarding his beauty, outward beauty. حَسُنَتْ جَمِيعُ خِسَالِهِ. Every quality of Rasulullah is so perfect, so excellent. Sallu alayhi wa alihi. Recite the Durood Sharif upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. My respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters, really the seerah of Rasulullah sallam, we can never do justice to it. I beg you to read the books on seerah and see how we can bring the beautiful, noble qualities of Rasulullah sallam into our lives. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu laka shukur kulluhu la nuhsi thanana alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ya Allah, hamari gunah ko maaf farma, hamari khata ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, forgive us, my Allah. Ya Allah, you made us the ummat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we make shukr to you for this, my Allah. Such a great ni'mat, where other anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam also desire to be part of this ummat, my Allah. You did not give them, ya Allah, beside Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, you granted us to be the ummatis of your beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Allah, help us, Ya Allah, to fulfill the rights of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, make us honor him, Ya Allah. Help us to send durood and salam upon Nabiya Kareem from every day of our life. Help us to make his itaat and ittibama, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, do not make us look down upon any sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, help the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, this ummah is pareshan hal hai, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove our difficulties, Ya Allah. Give us the best of dunya, best of akhirat, my Allah. Give us tawfiq, Ya Allah. Grant us the opportunity, Ya Allah, of going to Haramain Sharifain, my Allah. Standing before the Rosa Mubarak of our beloved Nabi Akrim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he must be so happy, Ya Allah. He must be so happy to receive us, my Allah. Ya Allah, grant us maut in Madinah Sharif, Ya Allah. Balil in Jannatul Baqi. Grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah Paak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day of Qiyamah. The holy Kothar water from Rasulullah Mubarak hands, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us enter Jannat without any hisab kitab. Ya Allah, protect us, our parents, our wives, our children, our nasal, our progeny, musallis of this masjid, Ya Allah. Our mutalliqin, mashayikh, our friends, our relatives, Ya Allah, wherever they may be, my Allah. Protect all of us from the azab of qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitna of the dajjal. Ya Allah, we have got different hajat and needs. You are well aware, Ya Allah, of the needs our brothers have here tonight. And our mothers and sisters and others listening at home over the receiver, Ya Allah. Fulfill our needs, my Allah. Fulfill our hajat and needs, my Allah. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun wa ja'alna lil muttaqina imama. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya mawlana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.